Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Singapore was founded 60 years ago, our first Prime Minister had a goal, an aim, because he understood what his goal and aim was, and so he built the foundation for this country according to what his target ought to be. And his foundation was education. He realized that in order for Singapore to survive and thrive in the future, education was the foundation that the society needed. Without education, how will Singaporeans be skilled or skillful in all the many different trades? And how will they survive in a world that keeps evolving, revolving, and changing? Singapore was founded on the very basic, where factories made a lot of garments. But our first Prime Minister realized that we cannot survive on factories making garments for the rest of Singapore's future and existence. As Singaporeans become more and more educated, this kind of factories will have to be replaced by a different kind of factories that require a lot of educated people. And 60 years later, Singapore is what it is today, able to weather the economic storms that have been blowing from every direction in this tiny island. Not every country had that foresight, and therefore they did not build that kind of foundation. And so they suffer today. Why would foreign companies invest millions of dollars in your country if your people are not trained or skilled enough to help them, for example, manufacture all kinds of modern-day electronic gadgets, or all these medical things that they need, antibiotics or whatever? You need educated people, and that was the foundation that our leaders decided, and they took concrete steps to make sure that their goals and their aims were achieved. Did they achieve it? You and I are the recipients of what was laid 60 years ago by our first Prime Minister and his team of ministers. What do you want as a Christian parent for your children in the years ahead? You look at the world, you know how to evaluate the world, and you know when your children, who are now toddlers, little babies, little human beings, when they become adults, the world out there that you are now confronted with day in and day out will be the world that they are going to be confronted with. And it's going to be far worse. You and I know the nature of sin and evil and wickedness. The first generation of sin and evil is generation one. With every new generation, it will pile on top of the evil and wickedness of the previous generation. In other words, they will add to it. Add more evil, add more wickedness. Now look at our world in the 21st century. How many layers of evil and wickedness have been added onto this world? The world that our great-grandfathers lived in is not the same as what our fathers lived in. And it's not the same as what you and I are living in. And if the Lord tarries, it's not going to be the same as what our children will have to work in when they become our age. So what do you want to lay in their heart foundation that will weather the storms of life, if the Lord tarries, of course, 20, 30 years into their future? Will the foundation you lay be sufficient? So what do you want your children to be when they face the world out there? That's the key, isn't it? Because that's what foundations are supposed to perform. That's what it's supposed to do. That's the intent. That's the nature of the foundation. You study the environment around you and you build accordingly. Right? I mean, that's what we learn in university when we design buildings. You do not sink in a lot of piles if you want to build houses near the beach. Because it's sinking sand. Every pile you drive into the earth, it will be sucked and washed away. You change the foundation. You use a floating foundation, a slab. We're not talking about high-rise building. We're talking about a house. Most at most, maybe two stories, and that's it. A floating foundation that is able to take the weight of a two-story home. A solid, flat piece of thick concrete. Floating. And then cover up with sand, and then with pillars on top. You design a foundation that is based upon what you want on top of it. So what do you want your children to become? You want them to become all these amazing doctors and lawyers and whatever profession that will bring in the highest pay, the most amount of money. Then by all means, follow the footsteps of our founding fathers when they founded Singapore. Focus on education. That's the key. That's the key in our tiny little island. They cannot be professional sportsmen. It will not bring in the kind of money that you find in other big countries. They have to be very well educated. And so, the moment they are old enough to walk, get them the best kindergarten, get them the best tutors, so that when they enter the primary school, they will be way ahead of their fellow classmates, right? And so you invest. You try to get the best tutors in all the key subjects, and that costs you. It's going to cost you. And so you will have to sacrifice the money that you spend on tutors. You can't buy other things. You can't go on those expensive holidays, maybe just across the causeway, just a few hundred dollars in Malaysia, and that's about it. You can't even fly to nearby Japan or Korea like your other peers, other parents. Even though you may have the same amount of remuneration every month, because different goal, different aims. You want education. You want them to have a very amazing, foolproof, iron ball career. What do you want for your children? The Bible teaches Christian parents that the foundation that you must lay in the lives of your children has to be strong enough that will weather the storm of life, that they will get out of hell and into heaven, where your aim and goal is beyond the 70 years and 10, and you have to think into eternity. Where will you want your child to end up after they die? That is the question. Not whether your child is going to live in luxury for the next final 30, 40, 50 years of their lives on earth. If you think such a short-term, short-sighted goal, then the Bible is not for you. They're going to be miserable. There'll be no guarantee that they're going to live a very luxurious and comfortable life in Singapore. Things are getting more and more expensive. Inflation is expanding in a very frightful rate. They have to have many, many jobs, and they have to have a lot of money to be able to live in landed property nowadays. That's the reality of life. But if you think in terms of eternity, then this message this evening is for you. Because the counsel from the book of Proverbs in building strong foundation is toward that goal, eternity. Not in hell, but in heaven. That is the goal. And the world will fight against that goal of yours. The devil will throw everything at your child to make sure that you do not succeed in that goal. Because the devil wants your son, your daughter to be his companions in the lake of fire, ultimately. To spend eternity with him in great pain and great torment. That is what the devil wants for your children, and he has been using every ways and every mean in every country to accomplish that. And your child is going to be bombarded by the economic world that he is in charge of, where success is measured according to his terms, what you possess. He controls the entertainment world, where you and I need to have a social life, a life of relaxation. He controls that as well. He controls the governments of the world, whereby all the governments are going to be more and more against the Christian way of life. Because the world out there, he is the head. Inside every church that is sound and biblical, Jesus Christ is the head, where the Bible is the only rule book. And so he will try to destroy as many churches as possible and replace the headship from Christ to himself. And he will allow many churches to remain in name, where Christ is head, only in name, but not in essence, not in true, genuine, sincere obedience. That's how cunning and deceptive the evil one is. And so your children will now be brought up in the last days, and this will be a sample of the environment that they are going to be thrust into, if the Lord tarries, of course. And so what do you want to do in helping your children, your child, if you are a single child parent, to prepare himself or herself when you are no longer around? The first foundation is a fearful one. This is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. We know that. We have touched on that in the past, if you recall. And so these two verses from chapter 14 of Proverbs says, in the fear of the Lord, that's how these two verses begin. A strong confidence, strong foundation, in other words, in your child's life. The confidence in making decision, the confidence in knowing what is right and what is wrong, what to avoid and what to accept. The world doesn't have that kind of confidence because everything to them is relative. In this country, I do this, it's legal. I go to another country, I do the same thing, I go to jail. So how do they have any confidence in what is right and wrong, what they want to do in life? Because everything to them is relative. You are in this country, you behave like the citizen of this country, even though you're a tourist. Or else you may get arrested. And then you come back home, you go to another country, you're going to find out what the rules and regulations are, what is criminal and what is not, and then you behave accordingly. Otherwise, you're going to end up in trouble with the law. As some of you may know, graffiti in America is art. It's a normal way of life. You don't want to ask that question to this American young teenager many years ago. Now, I'm sure it's a grown-up, middle-aged man, Michael Faye. He did the same thing in Singapore. He got jailed and he got caned during the time of Clinton, when he was president. And he even appealed to the Singapore government for some relaxation. And so, they reduced the number of strokes that he had to experience. They can't remove it completely because they will face the wrath of Singaporeans if they were to show any form of favoritism, but they also have to give the President of America some face, right? So can or cannot have graffiti? You want your children to have that kind of inner man? Absolutely no confidence in what is right and what is wrong? Or do you want them to have a sure confidence that whether they are living in this country or that country, they will always behave in the same way? The fear of the Lord is the key. It's the strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge anywhere, anytime, where they can run to and make sure, guarantee they are safe. safe from whatever the world may throw at them. Even when they have to go to prison for it, they will still be safe, because you think in terms of eternity. Physically, he may be in prison, but eternally, he is in heaven. You know he will end up in heaven, because your goal is eternity. You don't change that goal, because once you change your goal, your modus operandi in dealing with your child's foundation will also change. You cannot have this goal of eternity for the first 6 years of your child's life, or the first 12 years of your child's life, and then somewhere along the line, for whatever reason, you have forgotten that and you replace it with the temporal, horizontal, horizonous, 3 score years and 10 perspective. No longer eternity, it's temporal. Your building will suddenly shift and change. You now focus entirely upon your child's education, everything about church life. You will do the barest minimum and everything will become going through the motion or ritual. Just come to church on Sunday, everything else you cut off. No time for fellowship, no time for this Bible study, no time. You cannot lose sight of your goal and your foundation when you build the foundation for your child's life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, for to depart from the snares of death. Fearful. When you fear God, you fear no man. You will continue to do what your God wants you to do. That's how you depart from the snares of death. How will the snares of death succeed? By threats, isn't it? Right? That's how they trap you. Lust of the flesh and the threat of persecution. Luxurious goods. Dangle it in front of your face. You bite it, take it, die. Or threats. You don't do what I want, you lose your job. I will take the things away from you. That's how the devil works. But if your child learns from ground level, the fear of the Lord is in his heart. And you know, the fear of the Lord is found only in the heart of born-again believers. Please, whenever you pray for your children as they go to school every day, okay, every day, pray with them that the fear of God will be in their heart. Would you do that? Because when you pray like this every day, guarantee your child will know how to pray the same prayer when you are not around. But you could explain to your child what it means to have the fear of God in their heart. Very often when I hear people pray, they don't do that. Why? I do not know. Is it ignorance? Maybe. Is it because they do not pray for the fear of God in their own heart, in their own lives, and maybe that's the reason why they don't pray the fear of the Lord in the lives of their children? Do you not need the fear of the Lord in your life? All of us do. Because we are surrounded by all kinds of people every waking moment of our lives, where they will try their utmost to frighten us. How do you think scam works? Fear, isn't it? Your name is now in the police record. They are investigating because your name has been used by some people for this scam or this kind of criminal activities. And so straight away, your heart is trembling and you're filled with fear, especially when you are in your 80s and your mind is not as sharp as it was when you were in your 30s. And so you're fearful. And they will pressure you until you have no time to even call your loved ones and your children to find out and to ask them for help in what to do. They will frighten you and they'll give you the sense of urgency. You've got to do this fast, do that fast. And before you know it, your life savings is gone. Fear. Very, very powerful tool of the devil. It had always been fear since day one, when man fell into sin. How did the whole Hitler setup work? Fear. Right? Kill, take your body, take your life. Put you in the prison, beat you, torture you. Fear. Why would you want to change something that has been so effective in controlling sinners? But once you fear the Lord, you fear no man, you don't even fear the devil. Because once you fear him, you do not want him to be angry with you. When you fear that person, that man, you don't want that man to be angry with you, right? That's why you do what the person asks. So God tells you, keep the Sabbath day holy. Your big boss tells you, come to work on Sunday. You choose. You choose. Make your choice. Right? One will be happy, the other one will not. One will be angry, the other one will be happy. You choose. Which one? Who do you want to be angry with you? Your big boss, where you might lose your job, which impact your earthly, immediate, financial stability. Or you fear God. He will be angry. You fear Him, God will be angry. Oh, God only. So if I don't come to church, God, it's okay, right? You see how people reason, how people think? Maybe that's the reason why we don't teach our children and we don't pray with our children for the fear of the Lord, because we don't have it, we don't practice it, we don't have it in our own lives. And because of that, we make mistakes after mistakes and we don't even realize it. And we've been following the call of man and obeying the will of man rather than following the call of God and the will of God. And we are even ignorant. That's the worst. All this while we think that all is well with my soul, when in reality we are a mess within. But the fear of the Lord is the key. The first step of salvation and the step to maintain a life of holiness. Fear God. Isn't that the case? One of the first qualifications of a leader is fear the Lord. So that you will not be bribed. So that you will not be threatened. Right? Fear the Lord. You always do what is right. That's how important the fear of the Lord is. It will keep us in the path of holiness. The moment you sin, I'm scared of God. God is angry. I must repent straight away. You see how important the fear of the Lord is? That's the foundation that you need to impress into your child's life. So will you pray, the moment he goes to school, you are no longer around. He's fear you, but you are not omnipresent, are you? But you pray with him that the fear of the Lord will be in your child's heart. And the Lord will hear you, and the Lord will put the fear of God in him even before he is born again. Because you remind him, the Lord is watching over you, my child. Daddy, mommy can't be there for you. But we have a better person than mommy and daddy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will always be there, watching over you. Don't you do anything sinful or naughty. The moment you do, you repent. Because he knows. Mom and dad may not know, but he knows. And that is good enough for mom and dad, that he knows and you know that he knows. And you don't hide anything from him. Explain. Teach so that they understand. So that when you pray, the fear of the Lord, the understanding is there in your child's heart and mind. Would you do that? To help him realize and understand how real the Lord is. That is a reason, a practical application when you bring your child to the Lord for baptism. The Lord says he is now holy because you are a child of mine, and therefore, for Jesus' sake, because you are holy, your child will also be considered holy by me. That means I'm going to treat him like a believer. Because of you, even though he is not a believer. So when you teach him to pray, when you teach him about the fear of the Lord, I will help him, I will convict him, I will teach him. I will be there for him because of you. That's how important you are to your family if you are truly born again in Christ. And this is the fearful foundation that you must first lay as the first layer. And then on top of that, it has to be based upon righteousness. That means according to Holy Scripture. Not your version, not my version, not the church's version, the Lord's version. That is according to the Scripture. Chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Especially verses 2 and 3. Where it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Now you see, you want to focus on money? The Bible says this is called treasures of wickedness, because that's how all monies are earned, isn't it? Based upon wickedness. That's how the world makes money. Those big multi-billion corporations, how do you think their company becomes so big? Do you think they become so big because they are very nice? They are very generous? No. Many of these big multi-billion dollar worldwide companies, they have a very simple philosophy. Any other companies that are similar to what we do, we will regard that company as a competitor. Any other company that is not doing the same thing as what we do, not our competitor. I mean, you're doing a different thing. If you are in the food business, you are not upset with the people who fix cars, the mechanics, and those who sell car tires, right? They're in the food business. You don't see them as a threat because they don't sell food, they sell car tires. But every other restaurant, that's your competitor. And so if you have your big business, you sell all these goods like NTUC and everything else. So you have all this neighborhood, a small little grandpapa, grandmama shop also selling the same thing. You don't want this kind of competitor. So what do? You buy a lot of similar products, and because you are so big, you buy them in bulk, and you may even be prepared to, for the first year, sell everything at a loss. And the moment the neighborhood people realize and they start to compare prices, grandpapa, grandmama, small little shop, 50 cents more expensive. This one, 50 cents cheaper. What do you think? Who do you think they're going to buy? And very soon, this small little shop cannot survive, cannot thrive. How long can they buy and keep their goods? They will just simply have to wind down because they still have all their expenses, got to pay the employees, got to pay the rental, got to pay so many other taxes and whatever they need to. And so before you know it, they are gone. And you are the only one. And now you shoot up the prices. And whatever 1 year of loss that you suffer, you now make it back 4, 5, 10-fold. With no competition. That small little store at the corner that had been there for the past 20 years ceased to exist now. You care? Of course not. As long as my company is now bringing in all the money, you may even be the advisor to teach them this kind of method. Suffer loss for a while. We have the funds, we have the bank account to weather the storm for this first year of loss. That small little shop, they do not. Wait for them to close. And once they close down, we now dominate, we take over. Isn't that wicked? People's lives have been more or less turned to nothing. This is their livelihood. This is what they have been doing for the past 20 years to send their children to school. But now, all gone. Do you care? Of course not. You only care for how my treasure will become more treasures. God says they profit nothing. Is that true? Yeah, profit nothing when you think in terms of eternity. But it profits a lot if you think only in terms of 70 years and 10, right? So what do you want to think on? Eternity, then nothing. 70 years and 10, then a whole lot of something. A lot of something, isn't it? They are multi-billionaire now. You can see all these big owners, shareholders, all those who run all these companies, they will buy their fanciful yacht, their private jet, and they have the money to buy penthouse of the penthouse. I was just told by someone, this very rich man came to Singapore, want to buy a penthouse. And so this agent brought him to this huge penthouse. Too small. Too small. I want a bigger one. What if I tear down this connecting wall? Whole floor, the whole level, two penthouses, you buy both. Okay. On the spot, committed. Just like that. No need to think. Too small. Double the size, okay. Just nice. We struggle to pay for our four-room HDB flat. These people come in and they just simply say a penthouse, okay? Probably the master bedroom alone is twice the size of our HDB flat, four-room HDB flat. Too small. You want that kind of life? by all means, build a different set of foundation. But if you want eternity, then righteousness will deliver them from death, physical, and ultimately eternal. What righteousness? Christ's righteousness that will be imputed into your child's life the moment your child believes in Christ. And if you do not build your child's foundation where he will be exposed and introduced to Christ through your prayer, through the time you spend with your child, not just on Sunday, not good enough. 2-3 hours of exposure to Christ is not enough for your child to see how much God loved them in Christ. They have to see Christ every moment of their lives, every day. And Sunday is just the icing on the cake that you will teach your child that what mom and dad are teaching you Monday to Saturday is not unique. It is also found in the lives of all the children that go to Sunday school with you, and their parents are doing the same thing to their children, just as we are doing to you, teaching you about God's love in Christ. The church is supposed to supplement. This should never be the main diet. The main diet must always be the privilege of mom and dad. Righteous foundation from the righteous life of mom and dad, not the Sunday school teacher. That kind of righteous life from the Sunday school teacher is only short-lived, and it is only a couple of hours. And anything and everything that they do will be negated by the righteousness of mom and dad, or the lack of it. Right? Because the greatest impact in our children's life is the life of mom and dad. That's the nature of the mom and dad relationship with our children. Everyone else can say no to me, as long as my mom and dad say yes, I'm fine. All of you don't want to come for my unequally yoked wedding, I'm okay. As long as my mom and dad pat me on the back and they approve, I'm happy. Right? You and I have seen that. Do we learn from it or not? The Lord will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. You focus on your child's spiritual life, and they will become believer, and God will become their heavenly Father, and what God promised you in Matthew 6:33 will now be theirs as well. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto them. You focus on their physical, they're going to die in sin, and they're going to be poor in eternity because they're going to spend their poverty in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. Focus on fear the Lord foundation. On top of it, righteousness of the Lord foundation. And on top of that, and that righteousness comes from the Bible alone, which means, mom and dad, you better know the Bible through and through. And as your child grows in age, they're going to encounter different facets of temptation. And you better grow in the knowledge of God's word to help them as they mature accordingly. You don't need to know how to help them with boyfriend-girlfriend problem when they're only 5 years old. Understand. But when they are in their teens, you better learn from Scripture on how to help them as they mature and as they grow. And when they enter into the workforce, as they seek your counsel, you need to help them too. So you need to know how to advise them when they go for their interview, for their first job. And if the interviewer asks them, how much do you think your starting pay ought to be? Would you counsel them and teach your child how to answer or not? Do you know the answer? Do you know how to answer or not in your own life first? Is that first they're going to ask you, mom, dad, I'm going for my interview. Do you have any counsel for me, please? Do you know? That's what this righteous foundation is. You have to know the righteousness of Christ in your life according to Scripture in order for you to teach your child righteous foundation, because they depend upon you. You are the believer. they piggyback their faith and their communion with God on your faith until they have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Then they can also cry to God, Abba, Father, because of Christ. Right now, they cry to God, Abba, Father, because of your relationship with God in Christ. That's why the Lord will hear their prayer because of you. That's what it means. Even though they are not believers yet, that's why you teach your child when they are 3, 4, 5 years old to pray and to give thanks. And they will pray very sincerely at that age, 100% genuine sincerity. Because they trust everything you say 100% at that age, right? You tell them black is called white, they will say black is white. Really? Because it's mom and dad. Why would they deceive me? Why would they do anything that will harm me or hurt me? Righteous foundation, followed by a discerning foundation. Because as they cross the line into the age of accountability, they need a lot of discernment, a very, very rare and precious virtue nowadays. And to do that, you have to have the discernment first. Chapter 19, verse 27. Where it says, stop or cease, my son, to hear the instruction that is the correction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. You see? Their friends will tell them, hey, your mom and dad, they do not know. Like, come. You try this vaping thing. Like, it's harmless. Have a suck. And all their classmates, all behind closed door, maybe hiding in the toilet, or sucking. Do it now. Mom and dad, they won't know. And you try, you see? See, there's no breath of smoke, of secret smell in your mouth. It's okay. Try. Right? So you have all these telling them to err from the words of knowledge. You have been teaching your child, don't do this, don't do that. You've been teaching, right? Or did you not? And then their friends will tell them, but if they have the fear of the Lord, it's not my mom and dad that I'm afraid of, you know. It's the Lord. And the Lord is watching exactly what you are now tempting me to do in this toilet where no teacher is around, the principal is not around, no one is around, but the Lord is. I can't. And you teach your child to have the discernment by preparing him with a lot of Christian experiences before they enter into the world and have all those social and carnal and sinful experiences with all their non-Christian friends. That's inevitable. But you have to stabilize and give them a foundation so that they will know what is proper, righteous, social life. And that is not possible if you avoid church camps, if you do not encourage your children to attend all the fellowships, if they do not have any church friends of the same age group. They will never know what a Christian social life is like. And then as they grow older, because you only care about tuition, study, do the barest minimum, come to church, and then bye-bye. And then when they grow up, they're going to have the first taste of social life, Christian or not, non-Christian. So when they taste it for the first time, oh, this is what social life is like, where the non-Christian friends will use vulgarity, where they will drink, where they will tease and make fun, and they're going to have all kinds of unsavory jokes. To them, that is now normal, because that's the first taste of that fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But if you have allowed your child to taste the sweet, holy, Christian, social life, church camp, where they have meals together with all their little friends, right? And the conversation and the behavior, Christ-like. No unsavory jokes, no vulgarity, no all the vices and so on. And once they have tasted that, again and again and again, and that will become now their frame of reference to evaluate all other social experiences. And then when they taste the unsavory kind that is in the world, when they go to work, when they have lunches with their colleagues, or when they go to university, they're going to have meals and lunches with all their university friends. And they, for the first time, will realize, but now they have a frame of reference of holy experiences to compare with. I don't want this kind. If they have the fear of the Lord, if they have built righteous foundation, naturally a convicting heart will tell them, I don't want to have that kind of social experiences anymore, mom and dad. You don't have to tell them and forbid them. They will now tell you, I don't want to go out with them. I will have to mix with them when we do our team projects together. That I understand. But not when I have a choice. Discernment. A very rare virtue. And you cannot impart that to your children if you do not have this yourself. Do you know how to cease to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge if it comes from your boss? All these peer pressures are very powerful. You have to know that your place in the company is not through your boss's hand. It's through your Heavenly Father's hand. Your Heavenly Father is the one who puts you there, and your Heavenly Father is the one who keeps you there. And only your Heavenly Father can take you out of it. Nobody else. Do you know that? So that you can impart that to your child. That where you are in school, it is the Lord's doing. You have to know all this in your own heart so that you can give the right kind of advice to help your child to have the discernment they need when they are confronted by so many circumstances and strange people where you are no longer around. You're not around in their school, are you? You can't, even if you wanted to. But if they fear the Lord, if you have laid a strong, righteous foundation and have taught them enough of God's word to give them the discernment so that they will stop listening to this kind of people that will cause them to err, stray away, to sin. The words of knowledge, which is the Bible, which you have imparted unto them. Isn't that the foundation they need to weather the storm that's out there? Do you want your child to be like that? Then the time to begin, the last passage, is early. As soon as possible. Verse 9 and verse 12 of chapter 20, especially verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, and the word doing there is practice. It's not a one-off. It's a repeated act where they keep doing again and again. Again, a pattern of life. Even a child is known by his doing. And so what exactly have been your child's doings that you have been helping him to keep doing, to practice? Right? The child's doing is your doing, right, mom and dad? You teach your child to pray, to give thanks. Guarantee your 2-year-old, 3-year-old can pray. Sure, will not be pronouncing all those words very, very accurately, but you know they are praying. This is the word, the doing that is a practice, it's a way of life. It has to be repeated over and over and over again until it becomes the norm in them. So when do you start? The moment the baby is born, the moment the first time you feed your baby with breast milk, you pray with the little one. Every time. Really, every time. Isn't that how a practice is accomplished? Your home is blocked by this jungle. You want to cross over to your neighbor's house. You think one trip using a parang can just cut away the bushes will allow you to have a pathway that is permanent? Not one trip. You go there one trip. You visit once a month. Guaranteed, the next month, you've got to use the same parang, you've got to chop again. Because all those leaves and weeds and whatever bushes and all that will just simply cover the track that you just created. But if you visit your neighbor every day, guarantee the path will naturally be made by your daily visit. And you're going to widen it, you're going to chop more and more and more and more and more, and that path will be permanent. True? It's the same thing. When you pray with your child every time before they eat, you pray with your child every time before they go to school. Guarantee, when they become parents, you think they will pray with their own children when they send them to school? You know the answer, don't you? You have instilled into your child's life as early as possible, right? The Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. Because it is a reflection of the parents' doings, right? Tomorrow, you have your Sunday school, I believe. And then I'm not sure whether you have your makan after that. Get one of the children to give thanks for the food. I guarantee how the child will pray will be exactly a reflection of how the parents pray with him when they give thanks for their meal. You believe? You don't believe? Alright. Ask your child to pray. You are the teacher, right? Your child is there. Ask your child to give thanks for the food for the whole class. Guarantee is a reflection of how they have been hearing you pray. And if you have not been praying, I guarantee they're going to stumble their way through just as you never pray for the answer reflection. Mom and dad never pray with us for meals. Guarantee. My wife's family, the daughter wants to marry or now married a Roman Catholic. They counsel her, she will listen. Mom and dad say, okay, who are you, uncle? Show her all the Bible verses, won't listen. And so before they got married, this mother, my wife's sister, they had this family gathering. Okay, the big table for the adults, and then the other table for all the cousins. My children sit with the table for all the cousins. And so the table for the adults, they asked me, because they are the host, they asked me to pray, and so I pray. For the cousins, the other side, she deliberately asked the daughter's boyfriend, the Roman Catholic, to pray. Why? The reason is obvious. To show us that he is also a Christian. Of course, I did not hear what he prayed, but my children did. So on the way home, they on their own share with us. He stumbled his way through. He didn't even end his prayer in Jesus' name. He mumbled, he hesitated, he paused, and there were long pauses. He did not know what he was doing. Why? You and I know how Roman Catholics pray, and how many of these ecumenical churches pray. They have their prayer book. They read out their prayers. That's how they pray. They don't have to prepare anything. There's no prayer the way that we pray. From the heart, extemporaneous, no writing out, just pray from the heart. They don't have that. And so it was basically very humiliating for him, poor soul. Poor thing. The doings. A repeated, biblical, righteous relationship with your child. As early as possible, and your child will be known by his doings, whether his works are pure or whether it be right. It's your privilege and your responsibility. And when you teach that to your child, when they are naughty, 2-3 years old, they're not old enough, you've got to rebuke them, scold them, and if necessary, let them taste a little bit of pain. To let them know that there will be pain when you do wrong. Because if you don't, when they die in sin, there will be greater eternal pain. And this time it comes from God. When they do wrong. So when do you lay the foundation? As early as possible. What kind of foundation? It begins with the fearful foundation. That is the Lord they must fear. And that will be the beginning of their salvation one day, God willing. And on top of that, a righteous foundation, which means you have to use the building blocks. That is the Bible. The fear of the Lord is one thing, but they must know who is the Lord that they are fearing and how to fear Him. And the building blocks of that foundation that you lay on top of the fearful one is the righteous foundation. And in time to come, they will be blessed with discernment to know what is right, what is wrong, because you have been laying good Christian foundation from their social life through all the relationship that they have in terms of the Word of God, in terms of their possessions, in terms of people, and in terms of God when they pray to Him, because you have been teaching your child how to pray. The four key relationships in a believer's life, according to the Sermon on the Mount. You teach that to your children. Right? Relationship with God's Word, chapter 5. Relationship with God, chapter 6. Relationship with possessions, chapter 6, second part. Relationship with people, chapter 7. And you teach your child all these before they become believers. Why would they not, in time to come, want on their own accord to believe in such a wonderful holy Savior? Because they have seen this holy Savior in mom and dad's loving holy relationship. Build strong foundation. You have all the tools. The question is, do you want it? What do you want your child to become 20 years down the road, if the Lord tarries? Isn't that how foundations are built? Just like our first Prime Minister and his team built Singapore. He wanted a foundation of educated Singaporeans in order to receive all those wonderful, wonderful companies that are meant for educated people to work in. Did he succeed? You are the evidence. So he built a foundation toward this goal. What is the goal that you want to see in your child's life? He is bound for hell. You can do something to change that destiny to heaven by the foundation that you build in your child's life. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to realize the awesome privilege and responsibility bestowed upon us as parents. For our desire, O Lord, for all our children is that they know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And to this end, O Lord, may we build their foundation of life as early as possible with the fear of God in their heart and according to Holy Scriptures, giving to them all that they need so that when the time comes for them to be given the gospel by the Lord Jesus Christ, they will truly and sincerely acknowledge and receive Him as their Lord and as their Savior. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O Lord, for all the children that You have entrusted to us in Truth BP Church. And may this, O Lord, bring about their salvation for Jesus' sake. Hear our humble cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.